Toyota faces a massive fine over its safety recall.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood wants to hit Toyota with a $16 million penalty for not notifying regulators right away of problems with sticky accelerator pedals. Marketplace's Amy Scott is with us live now. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
How big a fine is that in the auto world?
Well, it'd be a record for the auto industry. GM had to pay $1 million for faulty windshield wipers several years ago. So this fine would be 16 times that. The law says you have to notify transportation safety officials of a defect within 5 days. And officials say Toyota waited at least 4 months to tell them about the sticky gas pedals. Toyota now has 2 weeks to accept this fine or it can fight it.
And could that happen? Toyota might fight this?
Well, the company said yesterday that it hadn't received the letter yet from U.S. safety officials explaining the fine. I talked this morning to Hans Greimel, the Asia editor for Automotive News, and he says next to the $2 billion that these recalls are costing Toyota, the fine isn't a huge deal.
I don't think the $16 million is going to make a big dent in their balance sheet. But anytime you pay a record fine, it doesn't look good.
So Toyota has to basically weigh the bad PR of admitting guilt versus, you know, just getting this over with.
Right. Marketplace's Amy Scott there. Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
And let's do this morning's numbers. Asian stocks were mostly higher today, and European shares are up 0.5% as well, mirroring yesterday's move on Wall Street when the Dow pushed closer to 11,000. Gaining 46 points yesterday to close at 10,973. Every year, hundreds of hospital patients die from prescription drug mistakes. Computers, we're told, could help alert doctors and nurses to prescribing errors before they happen. But a study published in today's Journal of Health Affairs shows just having the technology is not enough. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports.
Here's one way that technology is supposed to help hospitals. Doctors type a prescription onto a computer. The computer cross-checks it with the patient's information and alerts the doctor to red flags.
Let's say it's a medication to which the patient has a known allergy.
Jane Metzger is a researcher at the healthcare consulting firm CSC. She ran tests with 62 hospitals that use software like this. Some hospital computers flag the errors. Others, though, caught barely 10%.
The variability on the scores is really extraordinary.
David Bates is chief of internal medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital at Harvard. He co-authored the study on computerized prescribing safety, which came out today in the journal Health Affairs. He says it's not that low-scoring hospitals need more tech geeks.
It's really a matter of having nurses and doctors work with the tech geeks so that the right clinical knowledge is put in place.
The White House has offered some $36 billion in incentives for hospitals to modernize by 2014. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering Go to My PC, providing remote access to a Mac or a PC from anywhere. More at gotomypc.com/market. By MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 1 million tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
When we talk about international wildlife trafficking, we usually picture exotic species being smuggled into the United States, elephant ivory and tiger pelts. Author Craig Welch tells the story of the huge and violent poaching industry in this country. His book is called Shell Games, Rogues, Smugglers, and the Hunt for Nature's Bounty. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning, Bill.
Run down a few of the creatures that get poached in America.
Everything from clams in Puget Sound to Venus flytraps in the southeast to black bear gallbladders, the eggs of sturgeon that come up and down the Sacramento River, you name it.
And get passed off as beluga caviar.
They get passed off as beluga caviar.
How did you get interested in wildlife poaching and smuggling?
Well, I had written a story for the Seattle Times several years ago where several people had been arrested for poaching large clams out of Puget Sound.
These would be the gooey ducks.
The gooey ducks, exactly. And I understood that the clams were being poached for sale in Asia, and I found that completely fascinating.
And by the way, if you've never seen one, folks, it's a large burrowing clam.
These clams can grow to 3 feet in length, and they're really unlike anything you've ever seen.
How big a market is this?
You know, there are no numbers that anybody can count on, but everybody who knows anything about this world says it's been growing exponentially in the last 30 years or so. Just like everything else with globalization, it made it easier for people to find markets overseas.
Tell us the story that opened your eyes the most.
Well, I'd say it would have to be the hitman story. There was a federal undercover informant who was being wired up to have conversations with other folks who were stealing clams, and somebody had actually told him that he was planning on blowing up a rival in his truck. And they did eventually have to go and arrest the guy who tried to hire their informant as a hitman.
Why did you zero in on gooey ducks and seafood?
Gooey ducks actually end up being a strangely perfect metaphor for how the global marketplace has changed. Before the 1970s, there was really no commercial market for gooey ducks. Plus, the largest market for gooey ducks is China, and China's influence on the global black market for wildlife is amazingly large.
Craig Welch is an environmental reporter for the Seattle Times and the author of Shell Games, Rogues, Smugglers, and the Hunt for Nature's Bounty. Craig, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, Apple said it sold 300,000 iPads on their first day in stores. Actually, it was 300,001.
Hit it.
Bye-bye, iPad.
That's Pittsburgh high school student Justin Cocott. He bought the $500 gadget on Saturday, took it out of the box, applied a baseball bat, and made a hit video on YouTube because, quote, it was just something to do. Also on the video is the store manager from Best Buy who said, "I really honestly didn't think you were going to do that." This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.